Welcome to our show, Geeks Are Wired Podcast, where we talk about video games, movies, TV, comic books, technology, and TLDR, the Internet of Things. This week, we have Alex.
Heyo!
And Theodore.
I thought you were going to alphabetical, so you should have Anna next.
And Anna.
Hello.
And Jordan.
No, Bill comes after Anna.
Oh, then I'm Bill.
Hi, Bill.
I thought it's William.
It could be William.
It could be William. I apologize.
I could be last for that. Okay. I did say Theodore, so Jordan.
Yeah, so, Jordan.
I'm looking at this GIF, and it looks like a giant circumcised penis knocking against someone's head over and over again.
Freud to think that's very interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, everything looks like a giant circumcised penis.
Oh, and it's gone.
You mean this podcast?
Yes, this podcast.
Yeah, we probably should just start over.
Is that?
We'll do it live.
How far back do you want to go? Like, you mean years or?
Yeah,
just 5 years.
We got off on the wrong foot. Let's go episode one.
Delete them all.
We'll just reboot. We'll be a Sony.
Maybe people would send emails to
Geeks Are Wired.
To geeksarewired@gmail.com if you did delete everything. They'd be like, what happened?
Or maybe they'd call us too.
Yeah, they could call us at 1-801-896-4335 and say, why'd you delete everything? But they won't because you're not going to delete them.
Hey, Wilhelm. Man who will be named last. Are you worried about us getting hacked since everyone is getting hacked these days? Someone's going to raid our emails, just release them to public.
Everyone. You mean HBO?
HBO, they'll release it to HBO? Maybe.
No, I mean HBO getting hacked. Is that what you're referencing?
No. We'll just get hacked.
Are there other podcasts that have been hacked?
You don't have to reference anyone in particular because everyone's getting hacked these days. HBO, Sony.
If you say so.
Yeah. It is an impromptu mention. It is sort of a non sequitur.
I see. I apologize. Well, it's just that I had heard that, and this is total speculation, rumor. I didn't read any headlines anywhere or anything like that. But I had heard that HBO, the people who had like hacked HBO, said, "Give us ransom or releasing the finale."
Probably.
Oh, you mean so HBO will just again beat them to the punch, and release a better quality of it?
Yeah, I don't know. That's just what I had heard. Did they release the last episode?
Yeah,
really?
The HBO. It was there was a miscommunication, and it accidentally went out.
Oh yeah, in Spain.
I don't understand this hacking sort of thing. HBO counts on subscriptions. It doesn't matter if the episode is released beforehand. It's made negligible difference in the viewership. Like there's a slight drop for last episode as far as initial viewership, but actually increased the initial viewership from the episode 4. And it is totally an effective tactic.
So these hackers are actually giving more information to Game of Thrones. People are like, what is this?
Actually, when that spoiler from recent episode happened, I decided I was going to stop watching.
Was the spoiler?
Oh, when they killed the dragon.
Oh.
Man. Now you're going to have to edit it.
You did say spoiler.
This isn't that great of a spoiler. Like when that happened, it was like, oh no, they've got 2 out of 3 left.
Yeah, but then at the end
of the episode. Oh, that's a zombie dragon. I'll bet it breathes ice.
We did talk about that a couple of episodes
saying that there was going to be ice dragons.
Or that there was.
Now we know that there's at least one.
Mm-hmm. And it's possible.
And if you haven't seen the most recent episode and try to avoid spoilers, you're probably pretty pissed at us right now.
Yeah. Well, you'd be pissed at that episode if you care about logic at all.
This whole season's like payoff anyway. So like if you watch it, there aren't like any events that have like any consequence. It's just like, oh, this person finally had their comeuppance. This person had their comeuppance. This person got to tell off the other person. Like, there's been so little substance in this actual series other than, like, Happily Ever After.
So I've been thinking that, like, and maybe it's just me, and maybe George R.R. Martin would have written it this way, but it seems to me that you can kind of tell that we're ahead of George R.R. Martin, mm-hmm. because they killed Jamie. Oh, no, wait, we brought him back. And then, you know, they killed Jon Snow. Oh, no, wait, we brought him back.
Well, the Jon Snow death was the moment, was the last book. That was the last part of the last book that he wrote.
Yeah, that's going to happen
twice outside of his books.
Yeah, so like the Jon Snow resurrection thing definitely happening in the books. The Jamie stuff, that's totally pulled out of the deep recesses of the creators' minds. It's not going to happen that way in the books. And in fact, none of this will happen in the books because the books will not be released.
Well, duh.
So,
they're never releasing books?
Well, this is speculation on my part, but George R. R. Martin has been writing this book for 6 years now. He is working on 5 television projects, and he's running his theater.
So you're saying he's too busy and just not going to bother because the movies came or the TV show came out?
I'm saying he lost interest in his series. As soon as it rushed ahead, and it's not going to be like how he envisioned it, but the rough points will, like the finale and everything like that. Stuff like Hodor, that's from the books. Like, that's straight from George R. R. Martin. These things have already been revealed to the audience, so he's lost interest.
I feel like it's just... Yeah, it has a different feel to it, for sure. Like, things aren't as consequential, like you were saying. It's just like, we're gonna kill him. No, just kidding.
Maybe.
It's kind of like if they let the dudes who did the Avengers screenplay write Game of Thrones fan fiction. This is basically what we're getting this season.
I just feel like...
Because it's George so dumb, they sent every A-list male to the north of the Wall to go fight to go capture a zombie. That's such a stupid plot point for them. It's like, Cersei's gonna be our friend and help us out if we bring a zombie back to her. Meanwhile, she has a zombie. She literally owns a zombie. She's not going to care.
She's gonna go like,
but in this new universe by these screenplay writers, they're like, oh man, Cersei is totally changed or turned around or something.
Yeah,
but her zombie comes from different magics. Like,
it's the grand.
Yeah, she's gonna be like, "Oh, this zombie's way crappier than my zombie. My zombie can just crush dudes' heads with his hands."
Yeah, so I agree. There has been a shift because they don't have Martin to rely upon, and I'm still enjoying it.
It was fun,
but I certainly agree. This is a less intelligent show than it was before, by far.
Personally, I think how he did it is he was just like, okay, what would Jamie do in this situation? Well, he would charge the dragon just like that. He'd be like, I think I can maybe kill either the dragon or Danny, and I'm going to do it. And then the dragon breathes fire on him and kills him.
Pull it off if George R. R. Martin actually did, because he's top two or three best fighters in the entire world.
Well, not with his hand all messed up.
Not with his right hand gone.
But the thing is,
he would still want
the dragon probably would have noticed and killed him. And that's probably the way I see it as far as R.R. Martin has integrity, right? So he's going to be like, well, Jamie get killed. And he's like, shit. After he writes that, he just sits down and he's like, ah, now what am I going to do? I had all this stuff planned out for him. Well, I didn't expect that to happen. Yeah. And then he'd write around it, which is what they should have done.
Yeah, he does. That's something that has been the double-edged blade for George R.R. Martin. Is that he is very keen on exploring the consequences of everything, the ripple effect of everything. And so he does have things happen, and then he lets that have its repercussions. But with the show as it is now, it's basically this cool action sequence, let's fly with it. And if it causes problems for where we want to get, then we'll just kind of ride around it somehow. And that's what they've been doing. So they have been focusing on the spectacles and everything like that. And those cool spectacles, but admittedly there are a ton of plot holes that are amassing in their effort to just get from point A to point B and hang all the consequences. Like, the consequences do not matter organically. It's all... By the way, have we introduced you, Mr. Velham?
We did. Remember? Because we said I made it alphabetical.
Well, technically there would be Ted.
I took it back, though.
We actually did an introduction that didn't take like 35 minutes. So like it just feels like we need to go back and do it again because we're 10 minutes into the podcast.
So here's a side note, completely unrelated, but Anna hasn't seen the most recent episode, so we're spoiling the crap out of it for
her. Kind of a predictable episode.
Yeah, I only caught like 10 minutes of it, and then I fell asleep, then I didn't have a chance to actually like go back and rewatch it again.
For you by spoiling it, just because like nothing really happens. Like things happen in the next episode, in the current episode, but I mean, it's like when you watch, you're like, meh.
But it was the action was good. I liked the cinema.
Yeah, the action's great. I'll go back to the Avengers again. It was like the Avengers screenplay writers actually did this episode. Like it's very action oriented, and there's a lot of eye candy on the screen. But I mean, it's meh.
So
I mean, John had to like not get on the dragon, just like hang out and fight more zombies, just because. I mean, there's a dragon right there that he could hop on and literally fly away, but he's gonna fight like three or four more zombies.
Well, there are so many plot holes just in the North sequence alone. Like everyone criticizes the very obvious super speed Raven that.
All the movement in the season is nuts. Like, it takes 30 minutes to get anywhere in all of Westeros.
Yeah, and usually you can just say, excuse that, justify that, or rationalize that by saying, time passes much more rapidly between sequences.
There was enough time for the ice to freeze over.
Yeah, I know.
Right? Yeah, and evening. So,
but it's really cold up there, and they're near the White Walkers.
But it froze solid enough to be able to walk on, that takes some time. Even if it is super cold, it takes some time to get it to, so I could see like a day or so, like,
yeah, but Dragonstone's over 1,000 miles away from the wall.
Well, the dragon flies really fast,
and the raven does as well, because the Gendry has to fly there, run all the way over there, so it took a day or so to travel there. Gendry ran all that way to the wall. He's recovered. He's like, send a raven. They send a raven. The raven travels 1,000 miles to Dragonstone. Danny's like, oh no, they're in trouble. I need to ride my dragon over there. So she has to fly all the way 1,000 miles to the wall, and she has to know where everyone is. And so she kind of flies around and is like, oh yeah, there's
literally uncharted territory. She flies around like, oh, there they are.
I would think that it wouldn't be hard to spot a giant army of the dead. They were on kind of a flat area there, so
that's
not going to be too hard.
That is a good answer against that, but the rest of it, it's logically suspicious.
Well, it's just the whole season. Like every time, like this started with monk guy. What was his name? The monk? Teleporting monk.
Teleporting monk.
Talked about Dr. Eunuch.
Oh, Varys.
Yeah, Varys. When Varys literally teleported onto the ship with Dany when they were sailing to Westeros, like he went out to Westeros and like talked to Downton Abbey lady, and then like just teleported back to the ship. Like he was able to make it all the way back across the water, taking out the Dothraki army in like one episode.
Yeah, that I don't have as much objection to, because you can say several months pass between those scenes. But in
the,
this
the
case,
you... Like, you have no to, like, there's no way to tell what's happening at any given time, because all the events they're showing on screen, they're either not concurrently happening.
Yep.
Or and if that's the case, then one event isn't consequential to the other. So you're basically watching like some weird film school project where you can't keep track of any of the parts of the timeline. Or, like, they just don't care about how long it takes to do anything.
Yeah, they generalized it a lot, because when you have as many storylines going on as they do, and with as much distance traveled and everything like that, otherwise it'd take seasons and seasons for people to travel anywhere, and everything is necessarily desynchronized. But it is becoming especially problematic now that they're trying to really quicken the pace of everything, and people are required to travel across the continent in an episode. And so you can say, hey, it probably took like 5 months for that to happen, but now it's really the whiplash feeling, because they're not doing it once, they're doing it several times over the season. And so, like, this season alone, you can imagine over a year has passed since the first episode. And, but yeah, they're vague about the time, and so it's a confusing thing.
Bill just posted a great picture into the Trello board.
It might be the you know.
If one dude the javelin could take your dragon down, your dragon probably isn't that great of a weapon.
Well, except for, you know, the idea
like,
of...
Because the Uber crossbow last week was like, it was a huge disappointment. But like, just one dude chucking a spear is like an order of magnitude lamer.
So, well, here's the thing like that I was thinking about. So, yeah, they got a dragon. They got a zombie dragon, right? But it only takes one little poke with the dragon glass to kill a White Walker, mm-hmm. right? They don't even have to hit it somewhere vital. It's like, oh, I just scratched him on the leg with my obsidian knife.
Yeah, so why don't they use that against the dragon?
Yeah, like it's going to be super easy to kill it. Like just a bunch of archers with...
Actually, that's something else I was thinking. I was like, okay, you were just mining dragon glass. Where are your arrows?
Yeah, arrows they should have brought.
Oh, they could have totally, like, taken out. It's like, guess what? Everyone aim. We'll see how good his powers are if he can stop all of these arrows.
Yeah.
If we don't kill him, we're going to wipe out his generals and probably half of this army.
Yeah, they could have bitched and pot shot in anything that with blue eyes that they could see. Just pop, pop, pop. Oh, look at that.
Right, and they clearly did bring some dragon glass because Jorah used it on the polar bear. So, like, they brought some, but they weren't being smart about it because then it wouldn't be that awesome action sequence of Danny riding in and having the dragon.
Oh, no, it still could have been because he was the creator of most of those dragons.
Zombies.
Yeah,
that
zombies.
Too. I was like, sorry about the dragons.
Although, yeah, I'm not sure what effect the arrows would have made against the White Walkers in their situation that they're like stuck on that little island.
But he threw the rock far enough to hit that one.
The white. So there's the difference between whites and White Walkers.
And no, so, but there was the one with he had the blue eyes.
He like knocked off the bottom of his jaw.
Yeah. So he threw a rock far enough to hit it. That was what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's a white.
Well, the point is that if he can throw a rock and hit them,
he can shoot
an arrow a lot better and get more of them.
Right. Well, an interesting thing that I found about it is that the White Walkers are connected to their whites, and so you kill the White Walker, you could kill all the associate whites, which makes it far less scary.
I thought the White Walkers were the ones with the blue eyes, and the whites were just the regular ones without blue eyes.
They all have blue eyes.
Do they?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, and so the White Walkers are basically the menacing alien-like creatures, and the whites are the undead creatures.
But I thought you could kill Dragon Glass didn't affect the whites.
Yes. No.
Is there another tier lower?
No, it's just whites and White Walkers.
But the Dragon Glass was killing the whites.
Yes, okay. And it will kill. Well, no, actually,
they killed the White Walker with Dragon Glass, the one that John killed.
Yeah, he sliced right through it. And
yeah, the White Walkers definitely are killed by Dragon Glass and Valyrian steel.
But the bear, I thought, was
it's a white,
and he was just killed with a little stab.
Yeah.
Mm. So, like you were saying, the dragon can be killed with a measly arrow, but it may still have. Well, what like the dragon armor, so it itself might still have some.
So the thing is that like they are all decomposing, right? So the zombification does not.
We
make
don't
them
know
decompose.
That they're decomposing because it's magical zombification.
No, well, he still has a hole in him from the spear.
The point is that at some point that dragon's going to have pieces where his armor just is not there, and it's just open ribs or whatever, right? Well. Which, oh man. Troop transport, right? You know how many freaking whites you can fill up the inside of that dragon?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
But Ian,
but the point is you could easily get some dragon glass up in a hole, in a like if there's a big gaping hole in the middle of it, and then
unless apparently they're able to get chains to
they do get magical chains from the bottom of somewhere.
Just scavenge the north for dragon armor.
They could have taken a while and forged those chains and stuff. You don't know.
It's that magic.
Well, presumably the Night King has Bran's power, and so he can see into the future, and so calculated how to ensnare the dragon, and
knowing that, it was coming.
And... yeah, and that would account for him somehow finding the time to obtain chains of that size. But yeah, like we're trying to plug the plot holes, but I don't know if they deserve plugging. The writers were too lazy to care, so I don't know why we should be more
because
active.
We're trying to
go where they're really going to go with this in terms of just laziness. Because like David Benioff, I know for certain is a great writer, so I don't know if he's just like fatigued for trying to pump out so much for HBO, or if like maybe he just doesn't care.
Yeah, he did.
Like this next season is going to have, like, they're already painting themselves in the corner of, like, the classic problem of superheroes of, well, everybody on every side is invulnerable, so they have to give them just, like, comical weaknesses to, like, one particular thing. So they're going to have to start working around, like, this really complex comic book superhero-like mythos instead of having to, like, buckle with the usual of Game of Thrones, where it's just basically just psychosexual interpersonal relationships influencing massive global conflicts that end up in, like, thousands of people dead. Like, they're going to start, like, straying away from that and going more towards, like, the classic Marvel-type plots.
Possibly. It's hard to say because... As they near the end, they'll converge more to Martin's original plan instead of treading their own path in their effort to get to that point. And so
they know how it's going to end. That's going to help them. They'll at least have a target they can go to. But I'm not looking forward to the journey.
Yeah. So
I know how it's going to end. You ready?
How's it going to end?
Dany and the Ice King are going to stop fighting because their mommy's name is Martha.
That's true. And then they'll make love, not war. That's true. I think that Dany will find that...
I hope they actually have a kid within the next season, and then they find out that that Dany is John's aunt. Spoilers.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's not a spoiler anymore.
Well, it's spoiler from a couple episodes back, depending on how far you are in this season.
So, say that again.
Johnny is...
I got that.
Johnny.
Despite the fact... because I was thinking about what I was going to say, so I wasn't listening. But I think you just said what I was going to say.
I said the most profound thing ever, Ted. You can't even top it. Don't even try.
Oh, then I was going to say it.
Yeah, you missed out.
You just have to rewind the podcast.
All right, here's the thing. I'll say what I was going to say, and if I just repeated what Alex said, sorry.
Nice.
So, I think it's going to end with Jon Snow and Dany getting married. But it won't be that big of a deal because Cersei and Jaime already come out with, like, you know, we're brother and sister. So when they go aunt and nephew, we don't care that much.
I don't think that'll happen. You know why? Because Sam's on his way over to where Jon is. Sam has documents which indicate the annulment of Rhaegar Targaryen's marriage to Elia Martell. And it'll follow up with, hey, Rhaegar also married Lyanna, and then Jon will say, oh man, that's right. Rhaegar Targaryen's my father, and I'm banging my aunt right now, and Jon wouldn't be cool with that. Dany may be cool with that.
They're trying to struggle with a new way to pick rulers for Westeros. What they should do is just decide it by incest. So depending on what the most incestful regime is that they can find, that is the one that gets to run Westeros. So like Cersei and Jaime, they get to run Westeros for now. But if they can come up with something like even more disgusting between Jon and Dany, then they get a rule.
We'll just find someone who's mating with their sister, who is their aunt, who is their mother, who is their grandmother somehow.
They just go find like someone who claims that they're their own grandpa and they're married to themselves, mm-hmm. and they get to be king.
I think that's actually what Martin was saying that he is planning for. Is most incesty is the best to rule. So
that would be really funny if that's how the book is going to end, and then David Benioff is just trying to distract us from like the horror that George R. R. Martin really doesn't care about the end of his own book series.
Yeah, actually, you know, it's interesting that you mentioned Benioff being a good writer, because he is a good writer. I have his two novels, 24th 25th hour no
Yeah, no, 25th the only hour. Book that was, I read was City of Thieves.
Yeah, and City of Thieves. And, yeah, it's too bad that he doesn't get appreciation for that as much. But
City of Thieves is, like, way more Game of Thrones than Game of Thrones is now. It's kind of a disappointment because, like, that dude, like, you look at, like, the conflicts in City of Thieves, it's way more like the conflicts in Game of Thrones. Or at least in classic Game of Thrones.
Yeah, and so it's, I do think the creators are pretty exhausted because this is an intense show to produce and they've been at it for so long, and Game of Thrones fans are kind of online not the greatest fans in the world.
It's fair to say. I did not watch this episode until it came out officially, like on HBO Now, and I was not spoiled. So there was actually...
I think he's saying that they're jerks.
They're jerks.
But if they were real jerks, they would not care about the spoils.
Right? Well, they're super jerks. It's like, I don't know, I've been an active part of the Game of Thrones community since its inception in 2007. Like, the show was initially optioned. And so I was one of the book reader fans and participated in the forums and everything like that. And, people from episode one, they were really, really critical about any discrepancy. And
from the books.
You're
such a hipster.
So you're saying the fans are very, they're like DC passionate fans.
Yeah. And, you know, the biggest website dedicated to George R. R. Martin, the two creators.
Goatsy.
What's that?
Goatsy.
Footsie.
GOATCE.
Did you know that Goatsy has, like, cryptocurrency now?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah. G-O-A-T.
So, like, I mean, you want to put a quarter in, you get some money back out.
I want to...
Okay, we're just moving past that.
I want a coin minted with the Goatsy on the head of it.
No, Goatsy. Lots of no. Actually, just no.
Instead of a stern Abraham Lincoln, against some Goatsy.
No.
Speaking of Goatsy... I think it's called Goatsy coin.
No.
Speaking of Goatsy, did you guys watch the eclipse?
Did I look upon it with my naked eyes?
The full eclipse.
The totality eclipse.
See the full eclipse, not the Pocatello eclipse.
You have to see the totality and its awesomeness.
I got a 99%. I didn't get the whole thing.
See, and like I was thinking 99% would be fine, nope. But really there is a huge difference.
Yep.
Yeah, that 1% of sunlight coming through just burns your eyeballs out of your head.
No, it really does. And like, so, because you still got, like, brightness, but, like, when it covers it and you see that halo, like, it's amazing.
Yeah, it was so cool. Like, it was just that dark spot of the moon and then just, like, that circle of the sun all the way around. And there's nothing like it when you actually watch it without the glasses.
Well, because you can see the total eclipse. You don't need glasses.
But you see, like, it's weird because you see all this light behind it, like coming off in streams or whatever, but like I don't understand how that works because it needs something to reflect off of, but I don't like to be able to see the light. You have to see have it reflecting off of something, and it's hitting the moon and reflecting back, but some of that's coming back to us. I don't understand how that works, but it was
it's
really
all about
crazy.
The angles, man. It's all about the
I
angles.
Guess gravity bends light, so maybe it was bending around or something. I don't know, but it was amazing.
And light waves also bend certain measures. Like the sun actually, that's the other thing, while the eclipse is going on, they are able to measure stars off in the distance differently because our sun is, because we can see it, it's actually bending the way the light comes at us.
Mm-hmm.
So we're able to measure things. That's why also you can sometimes see like two stars that look exactly the same, but they bend to duplicate.
Yeah. But I didn't really buy into the whole, you know, it's a big difference between 99% and 100%. But
now you're
actually
a believer.
Seeing the 100% because I watched it all the way up until
was your belief full. Eclipsed?
Yeah, I'm a changed person now.
Did you see the?
Nope.
Totally worth it.
Did you watch any of it?
Yeah.
You stayed in the area, mm-hmm. Watched the 99. Didn't go north.
Nope.
Totally went. You should have gone north.
Eh. I don't feel like I missed out.
That's because you didn't see it.
Yeah.
I feel like even seeing it, like, because I've seen videos of people seeing it, I'm like,
It's funny because my camera, even full eclipse, my camera still looked like when I took a picture of it, it still looked like the sun. Like,
I was like able to get a black dot in the center.
There's a little black dot in the center, but it's still like super bright and everything. And that was really surprising to me.
Seeing the, you know, it looked like a sunset all around. The temperature dropped. Like, it got quiet, like eerily quiet, because nobody was driving anymore, realizing it was coming up.
The birds got quiet. Whoa, what happened?
Yep. The wind dies down. It was, yeah.
What did you say all the cars stopped?
All the cars. There was no cars moving. As we were getting closer to totality.
Were you in your car when?
No. We'd already picked our spot. We were just in a town. We were next to the main highway.
You were next. Oh, okay.
Not the interstate, but the highway. Okay. So I suddenly realized, like, it's quiet.
Yeah.
Like, everyone's waiting.
Because it was weird. We were in Idaho Falls, and we were kind of close to a park. And from afar, cheers and screams of terror actually sound the same. So the sun got blotted out, and it's completely dark, and we got this weird halo, and the birds had stopped. And then we hear this screaming in the background, and we're like, that's really creepy. Like, it was like the opening to a horror movie or something. It was kind of great.
It was really weird.
Yeah, we had cheers, and, you know, started off with kids like, yay, totality!
Yeah, so I don't know why you would cheer for that. That's like applauding at the end of a movie in Idaho. Like, the directors are nobody any way remotely involved in that movie are in the theater.
You're like, cheering for...
Why are you applauding?
The moon.
And I don't know, is the projection area even manned? Does someone sit up there and make sure that everything goes okay?
It depends. Less now than it used to be. Like, yes. When it was actual reels, because you had to change them out.
And maintain them. Yeah, but now it's just like a digital file, I assume.
A lot of them are, yes.
It's probably just a thumb drive stuck into a PC sitting up there.
It depends on what it is.
But, like, nobody has to man that. Nobody cares. So they just leave. And so we're not even applauding the projectionist.
Yeah, but you could, like, applaud for you.
Like, hooray me. I watched a movie and it was good.
Like, I enjoyed this thing a lot. I'll just clap for it. It's for, like, you and...
Or, like, when a...
Okay. I'll admit, I'm not a fan of clappers at the end of movies.
What?
You what?
I'm not a fan of clappers at the end of movies. I'm just like...
Okay, if it's the premiere and the people are there in the audience, hell yeah, I'll applaud.
If they were there.
Yeah, but...
I don't go to those showings, though.
Yeah, no, me neither.
I would like to, but I don't go to those.
I also think it's dumb to applaud when a plane lands, even if it was a rough flight. Unless, like, the landing gear broke before we landed, and he was able to land the plane without killing everybody and without a giant
fireball. So it's like if you landed in the Hudson Bay...
I might applaud, but after I got out. But like a normal landing, who gives a crap? You did his job. I don't applaud Burger King when they bring me my food. Maybe I'm a jerk.
I can't like sit on this any longer. When we started talking about Game of Thrones, I remembered something I read the other day about the Hound. Apparently the dude lives on a boat. Like, the guy who actually plays him, Rory McCann, just lives on a boat full time.
Yep.
There's a fair amount of people that do that.
And from his Wikipedia page, like, the first line under career is, McCann's first acting job was an extra on the film Willow. He was fired because he laughed during the takes. I'm sorry, I just got some of that, Walker.
Did they take him out of everything?
If you see like a giant dude laughing at Warwick Davis, just like, I don't know, like doing like pratfalls, then that's probably the Hound.
That's one of my favorite movies from when I was younger.
It's a good movie. One ever remembers it, but like that was kind of like the, if everyone ever wanted like a Hobbit adaptation, like it may as well have been that in terms of just like you've got like this group of adventures, which kind of gets cut down to basically like three people, but like in terms of like it's a fantasy series where there's some climatic battle between good and evil in a fantasy setting, like that was kind of the movie for it.
Yeah And like to this day when I step in dog poop, I'm like, well, at least it wasn't troll crap.
Hey, that's also when Val Kilmer was hot.
That was when he was young.
Isn't he hot now?
Wait, was that Val Kilmer?
Yeah. That's pre. I think that was pre Iceman.
Is he the one that was calling him Peck?
Yeah.
The dumb Daikini that was taking the pee pee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's. I'm pretty sure that's pre Iceman.
When you type in Val Kilmer into DuckDuckGo, like the first auto suggests is cancer. I'm guessing he's probably not doing so hot.
Yeah, there's just more of him to love right now. Or wait a second, we don't have.
I mean, fat isn't cancer, but I can sort of see the comparison.
Val Kilmer admits he had cancer, CNN.com, May 1st, 2017.
Aww.
That's like such a weird thing that that Batman had to admit he had cancer.
He wasn't a very good Batman. I don't admit what? He was a Batman.
He was not a bad Batman.
He wasn't a good Batman. He was a good Jim Morrison. And
was it the wasn't he the Saint?
Yeah, the Saint.
Yeah, the Saint was great.
So that's one of the movies where I explain how I'm not good at recognizing people. When
really?
I watched The Saint, I didn't recognize him anytime he was in a costume. Not a single time did I recognize him.
Yeah, I had no problem with that.
Yeah.
Of course, also,
people said that.
Like Mission Impossible 2. It's, you know, whether, like, the way people act or whatever, I also recognize some of that. That's why I was like, oh, that's Tom Cruise in a disguise. Congratulations, you're a great actor. Still not a fan of you.
He's a bad actor and a horrible human being.
Ah, he's okay.
No.
Tom Hanks?
Tom Cruise. Tom Hanks is pretty cool in both acting and real life. As far as I can tell.
I've never met either of them.
Oh, I was wrong. He was Iceman before he was Willow. In Willow.
Oh, Iceman, Top Gun. Duh.
Yeah, sorry.
I'm stupid. I'm like, what are you talking
about?
What
do you mean Iceman? He didn't play Mr. Freeze.
Yeah, no, actually, when I figured out who he was, and then I like realized he was from Top Gun, I got angry.
Why?
Because I really liked him in The Doors and some of the other stuff.
Yeah.
And then I remember him from Iceman, and I just hated him in Top Gun.
Oh, he was a great bad guy.
I hated him so much.
He's like Jamie Lannister. You hate him, and then you're like, I feel for you, dude.
But then, like, if you watch it, like, as an adult, I watch it, because, what, I was 8 years old when Top Gun came out? But as an adult, you watch it, and you're like, he was totally right. Tom Cruise was a jerk in that movie.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise was a horrible person in that movie, and...
They're still trying to make a sequel off of that. Yeah. I know.
Do you think like Frosted Tips were like the secret to getting people to hate you in the 80s and 90s?
You just had to have that.
Or just in general, is it transcend time to have Frosted Tips?
Yeah. Was it Ghost in the Darkness, where he was the guy who killed the lions? I don't know if you saw that one.
I don't think I saw that one.
It was back when they were building, it was a movie about the time when they were building the railroad in Africa. And they didn't put up any barriers or anything, so the lions would come in and just start killing all the people.
Oh, that was about a lion, wasn't it? The Ghost of the Darkness.
Yeah, like three lions.
Yeah.
And what had happened, they thought they were like, oh, these are odd for lions, why would they attack? Because they were just killing humans just massively, not anything else.
Because they're cats.
Well, what happened is, as they got old, what they always found out as they got old, their teeth became soft like lions in zoos and all that. So attacking, you know, like zebras or any of the other animals out there, it actually was bad on their teeth and it hurt. So they attacked the soft, squishy humans. Because there was no security. Because these were the same people that were building in the U.S. and they wanted to Africa. And they're like, well, we don't have these giant animals. Why do we need fences and and guards?
Oh, yeah, that's right. He was in the great movie Heat.
Ah. I forgot he was in there.
Yeah. I actually don't think I ever saw that.
Have you guys played Payday 2?
Payday? Oh, that's the video game.
No, I only played the first one.
I never played the first one, but like that's Heat, the video game. It's so good.
Yeah, everyone tries to knock off the Heat robbery because it is the greatest armed robbery in cinema. I can't think of any movie that tops that.
Yeah, like, I mean, it basically squashed Ocean's 11. Like, I mean, everyone talked about, like, Ocean's 11 was such a great heist movie, but, man, Heat was such a better heist movie.
Yeah, it was. That was an amazing sequence.
I might have to go watch that, then.
It's really good. It's the Saving Private Ryan of heist movies.
It really is.
Do you think he lost the weight?
He's going to play Mark Twain.
Mark Twain was kind of portly.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why he gained the weight. He was kind of portly. And I derive all my knowledge of Mark Twain from Star Trek, so.
They found, like, a great Mark Twain reenactor, but the problem was he was a little bit pudgy, but they gave him the job because it's cheaper than the other one.
And now my view of reality is skewed.
Man, he loves playing Mark Twain. Look at that. Tom Sawyer. Cinema Twain.
2014.
Oh, 2014, yeah.
Mark Twain and Mary Baker Eddy.
Like, he just found it. He's like, man, I really like this. Let's keep doing it.
It's like the easiest gig ever. You basically have to dress like the KFC colonel and then, like, have lots of prosthetic facial hair just glued to your face and then talk with a Oxy affectation. You can do a Mark Twain impersonation.
He wasn't that racist, right?
Mark.
He was of the time
Tom
period.
Kilmer?
No. Mark Twain.
Might be. Who knows?
He was a normal weather,
it was called Ice Man.
Weather racial. Yeah. But for his racial stuff, it was of the time period, and I think he was actually against it, but he identified it.
Yeah, though, that's what I'm saying. Like, he was less racist than his contemporaries. Probably if we brought him forward today.
Yes, it's not saying much. Like, it's not saying much that he was, like, not racist for that time. Like, they took it to, like, the degree of being an art form to, like, accomplish the levels of racism from the 1800s.
That's like saying the leper with the most limbs.
Yeah.
You basically had to, like, not try to be, to like, not be racist. Like, just if you just didn't give effort out, you were being less racist than everyone else.
So I did want to change subject real quick and
for
talk
racism?
About
why.
Yes, because
do it.
I'm just gonna change.
Come on,
again.
Bill, do it. Hurry up, do it.
So we do are it. Now on the Amazon Echo. All you have to do is say Siri, play Geeks or Wired
Siri
podcast.
Is on Echo.
I don't think the Echo would like you to call it Siri.
That's Siri. I don't know. Alexa. Play Geeks Are Wired podcast, and it'll play it.
And anybody listening to that,
you just like say Jeff Bezos, and you'll get the man on the phone, and he can set it up for you.
I think you just have to naturally just speak Jeff Bezos, and it'll get you on the.
But
phone.
We're on the Amazon Echo. Let's
go
with that.
If you light a couple candles in a dark room and like knock on the mirror and say Biggie Smalls, Biggie Smalls, Biggie Smalls,
Jeff Bezos
pops up.
And Ted,
he's everywhere.
This one's for you because I know you're talking about that.
Okay.
We're also on YouTube now.
Hey,
the
finally.
Last two episodes have been on YouTube.
Sweet.
And this one will be too.
Do you think that Jeff Bezos will overcome Bill Gates and Warren Buffett at all?
Who's Jeff Bezos?
Jeff Bezos is the richest man on earth, like right now.
Is he right now?
Yeah.
I'm not shocked. He's been.
It was there.
Really,
it just showed it. He came up.
Well, that was on IMDb.
Oh, actually,
July
27th, Jeff Bezos was crowned the world's richest man.
He beat out Bill Gates?
Yeah,
that's because Bill keeps giving his money.
Oh, explains, man, $81.3 billion.
That explains why Google signed with Walmart now. Or did you guys hear about that? You can now order Walmart stuff through your Google Home, and Google is working with Walmart to compete against Amazon.
Jeff Bezos is a movie star.
He did a TED Talk.
No, Star Trek Beyond. He's going to be in it.
You mean was? Beyond is an older movie.
2016.
I wonder if, like, we also talk about, dystopic sci-fi universes. I wonder if maybe, like, all those dystopic visions were actually they're the optimistic visions for how the world is going to go. Because, like,
it's starting to feel that way.
Yeah,
I don't know. Mad Max seems to be kind of
because Running Man was like a dystopic vision, but we're kind of just morphing into that.
He was a red shirt in Star Trek Beyond.
He was also in the Tooth Fairy.
He was a security guard in that
2004.
Jeff Bezos?
I don't think it was the Tooth Fairy movie.
It's a short.
2004.
It was a short.
Two people thanked him.
Oh, holy crap. He does have an IMDb page.
Yep. He does. That's why we started doing that. I was like, oh, I should probably go look at him instead.
Oh, that is depressing.
Oh, he plays himself in 15 different things.
Yep.
Oh,
Good Morning
why are
America.
They putting Good Morning, like what?
No, people. They're starting to. That's why self is different from actor. So you were. They did interviews.
So they're not acting as themselves.
No, no, that would be under actor because they actually do have like John Malkovich.
Uh-huh.
He was an actor as John Malkovich in Being John Malkovich.
Life is bizarre sometimes.
So Bezos looks like he is charging up for the $100 billion mark.
Does that mean we get to eat him if he gets $100 billion?
Those are the rules.
There has to be the point like your wealth starts back over again and you can be eaten.
Okay.
That is one happy
the
bald
bank,
guy.
The bank's
it's like
sorry,
in
you
Call of Duty.
Negative.
It's like in Call of Duty when like you max out like on all the weapons. So if you wanted prestige, you have to start over again. It's just like that with wealth. You just start at the bottom again and people are allowed to eat you.
The big decimal overflowed and you now have what? Negative $8 billion.
Actually, I forget what. There's a
you
game.
Owe us.
I forgot what the game was where you have to reset all your stuff but you make your money faster.
There's a lot of those tap games that do that, the idle games.
Mm-hmm.
I play one called Adventure Capitalist.
Yeah, I think that might be the one I'm thinking of.
Yeah, but there's a lot of any of those tap games, they do that. There's also, I've been playing, well, I kind of stopped playing it, but it's called Almost Heroes, and it's the same way. You, like, reset it to get a little bit further.
Mm. It gives you advantages for resetting?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, how about this? For those that are against the AIs, because they're worried they're going to take us out.
You and Elton John.
No, I'm totally for it.
Oh, Elon Musk.
Elon Musk is against handing or making AIs that are made that with weaponry.
I think that's a bad idea, too. I've seen how buggy software can be.
So you think you should not hand AI weaponry?
That's correct.
No future... No,
people are going to do it, so in order to keep up, we're probably going to have to do it too. But
no RoboCops?
It's a bad idea.
No Metal Gear.
No Metal Gears.
Then we gave them control of the weapons.
What about Terminator? Like, that
well, see,
can
no,
go too far.
Terminator
right?
is technically still just a basic AI. It's that they literally handed them the weapon. The weapon was not built in. Like with RoboCop, you know, there was the giant... Well, I guess it may have been RoboCop 2. It was the giant machine that had the guns all attached to him.
The machine in the second one was a consciousness... No, it was a brain in a jar. And the first one was ED-209. So, like, the first RoboCop movie had an AI and control a weapon system. And then RoboCop just, like, rolled up and killed it. But...
Yeah.
Yeah, like, the only time they ever had, like, an AI that was armed was the... I think the first one. Because the second one was just a brain in a jar that was hooked to Nuke, a.k.a. Meth. And running a robot.
Wait, Alex, I think you're mistaken because there was no RoboCop sequel. There's only the
one. Oh, come
on,
RoboCop 2 is not that bad of a movie. It's not as
good
as the first
one,
but
only
it's not that
the
bad.
One.
And the remake is not bad either.
There
actually,
was no remake.
The remake was actually pretty good.
That didn't happen. There is no Total Recall remake either.
Wait.
I don't know how you remake RoboCop. When, like, the period you're remaking it in is literally the same dystopia they envisioned in the first movie. Like, you're making it in the context of, well, this has actually happened, so let's get to filming.
Yeah. iRobot was also, like, one of those things.
See, the thing is, iRobot wasn't... Because, like, compared to the books...
Yeah.
They, you know, because, okay, the movie was very much Terminator style of, oh, I am protecting you against yourself... I am Skynet. While the books, the robots, because of the three rules, they didn't quite... It didn't go, like, as Skynet intense. And they were... It was a bunch of little interviews. Like, we were getting power from the sun. And it had to point a laser at the Earth. And that laser from, like, really close to the sun down to the Earth, if there was a flare, it was... Humans had to turn off the laser, otherwise you'd carve into the Earth because being so far away. The robots, not believing that the Earth's really there, they're just doing their job, but they're still following the first rule. They lock up the humans like, okay, God made us, because they're worshiping the nuclear reactor. And like, oh no, this is our God. You will just, we're here to replace you. And, well, the flare happens, and they're like, we just destroyed, because the robots locked them up. Like, we just destroyed the Earth. Well, there's so much, destruction. Robot walks in and is like, I see you wanted this. And he kept it on target because the first rule. He didn't, without even, like, really realizing it, they realized that, hey, there's still the rule. And it, so, like, with the movie, it was more of the overprotection, a helicopter parent type of mentality. I have to protect you, and using violence is justifiable.
Just like what Ted said, though, what kind of stops them to like turn around and go rogue or something like that, even if they have the three rules?
Well, and that's the idea with the three rules too. It's like, okay, the first rule is you can't harm a human. Second rule is you have to follow every rule from a human unless it breaks rule number one. And third rule is self-preservation unless it breaks the first two rules. Which means, that was explained in the book, the robot could take a piano, as the example, over the edge of a cliff and then release it. But realize that there's a human down there, kill the human because they cannot physically get downstairs fast enough to save said human.
Yeah.
They'd be breaking rule number...
No, they weren't breaking rule number one by putting the piano out and letting it go, was the idea. And then they, like, oh, there's a human down there. But the idea where the laser idea, they technically wouldn't even be able to go that far because rule number one, because even though they don't believe that there's an Earth there, they end up automatically following it. So...
it's kind of twisted, but yeah, rules could just go wrong.
Yeah. Well, that's why the overprotection, like in the movies. I don't know. But, well, that's why those weren't even like, those rules weren't even like software. They were just like, this is what you are beyond everything else. This is your basic robot. And then we put an OS on top.
So I think the point that I think you were trying to make before was that was like iRobot is they
RoboCop
weren't
cop tier that didn't
no
that's the point
they,
of all this, right?
They weren't given weapons, they took up weapons later on to solve it, but they weren't actually given weapons. These were just robots that are supposed to make your life more convenient and blah blah blah.
Mm-hmm.
And the point is that we're making robots that are weapons,
yeah,
and that have an AI, and that's the difference.
Hmm.
Is what you were trying to point
out?
Yeah,
there's that. Yes.
So like Robo or like the Terminator, he was technically designed to kill people, right?
He was a military replacement.
Well, he was more like a spy, really. Like he wasn't designed to kill people. No,
not initially. He was so. I found this video about Schwarzenegger being he was going to be the model because they based the T-800 off of a soldier.
Mm-hmm.
And he was going to be the future of robotics.
I would like to remind you guys anyway that Terminators don't kill people. People who design robots and let them go out of control and design Terminators kill people.
Yeah. Well, no, they designed the Skynet, and the Skynet built the robots to kill the people.
Anyway, as you were saying.
I think it's like Sergeant Candy. So Schwarzenegger has this like southern accent. It's
how did the robot screw that into an Austrian accent?
Oh no, but at the end of the video. Okay, we'll put the video in the show notes. But like, I could play it now, but it would just be background. But it's the end of the podcast. We could talk about it maybe next week or whatever, but I will show it to you guys.
Scott is sitting there like, this thing sounds like too much of a hillbilly, and he hits him on the side of the head. He's like, yeah, I'm the Terminator. Guten Tag. And the robot's like, good enough. At least it doesn't sound like a hillbilly. It seems more credible.
It was removed from Terminator 2, which would have made it even way awesome. But they... what happens is the humans are like, well, great look, but what do we hate the accent? And the guy turns like, we can fix that. So the voice is technically from somebody else, but it's quite funny. We'll put I'll put the video in the linked in the show notes. We should just wrap up. Why not? Unless. You guys, I don't know if there's anything else in the
I want to
show
give a quick plug for something. There's an indie video game that's been in development for like 4 years now called Cuphead. It's a it's basically just like a just kind of a hardcore platformer that is styled after like a 1920s or 1930s like Merry Melodies style cartoon. And if you look at it, it literally looks like a cartoon. Like, it's got the film grain, and it, like, all the characters, their animations are unbelievably gorgeous. But they decide, hey, let's make Contra, except it's like if it took place in the Betty Boop universe. It's a beautiful game. And they've been, and like the two guys that have been working on it, they probably like racked up like a lot bigger teams that they start working on, but it's originally just, I think, two brothers that started working on it. And it's going to release on September 29th. I think it's going to be on the Xbox, PC, maybe PS4, but definitely check it out when it comes out, because even if you don't want to play it, you should watch the video for Cuphead, because Cuphead, and it's C-U-P-H-E-A-D, the protagonist is a guy who has a cup, like a teacup for a head, and his brother, Mughead, who literally has a more muggish teacup for a head, just fight weird bosses. It's actually really fun just watch a YouTube video of the gameplay, because the game is just so patently beautiful throughout the course of stages and boss fights.
Thanks.
All right. So, famous last words. Go, Alex.
Check out Cuphead. Seriously. I'm not going to get off this point until the end of the episode. Go watch Cuphead on YouTube, anywhere. Anything that will play a video of Cuphead, go watch it.
Oh, yeah. Cuphead, pronounced backwards, is Daypuck. It's interesting.
Isn't it P-Duck?
Daypuck.
Oh, backwards. I thought you meant upside down.
Upside down, yeah.
I should make a game called P-Duck.
I'll be back. Or should I say, I'll be back.
That's better.
Yeah, so stupid backwards is dip butts.
I'm Sergeant Candy, y'all.